The title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Living Life Beyond Regret. And today I want to talk about depression and anxiety. Depression and anxiety. I've defined it this way, that regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. And I know that every one of us have had experiences in our life that we've had disappointments and we've felt bad about some things that have happened. I think many people struggle with regret. It's a human thing that we look back over our shoulder and we start thinking, man, I wish that hadn't happened, or why did that happen, or why did I do that, or why didn't I do that? So it's a very normal feeling that we struggle with. Now, I've inserted parenthetically here that this could mean disappointments, things that you've been disappointed about in your life. It could be mistakes that you have made, just things that have happened. Happened in your life, but also happened to you, some painful things. It could involve failures, where you have felt like you have failed in relationships. You might have failed in your finances, failed at a job situation. This could involve losses of income, loss of a job. It could be the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're here today and you feel that regret, wishing that you'd had more time with that person or been with them right before that they passed away. It could be missed opportunities. You might be here today and really struggling with regret that you didn't go to school, that you didn't take that job, that you didn't move overseas, that you didn't stay here, whatever it might be. Those missed opportunities, that's that feeling of regret. Now, when we talk about depression and anxiety, let me share a few things that can lead to depression and anxiety. And this is really something that we all deal with as human beings. But a loss of a job or income, that can lead to depression. It can lead to anxiety, to fear. How are you going to pay the bills? How are you going to take care of your family? Depression and anxiety could come as a result of unmet expectations. You might have really thought that a relationship would work out. You might have really thought that a job situation might have worked out. So you had these expectations, but they were unmet, and that can lead to depression. It can lead to even anxiety. How about this? When life feels out of control. I wonder if there's some people here where you feel like the life is a little bit chaotic. You're trying to keep it together in your marriage, keep it together with your parenting, keep it together with your finances. You're looking around at the world. You watch the news. You can hardly believe what's happening in the world and maybe even in our nation. And it feels like things are chaotic, out of control. That can lead to just this deep sense of depression and even anxiety, fear that bad things might happen. Here's another one, sickness or injury. If you have struggled with a prolonged illness or a physical injury, that can lead to depression. You know, people that deal with chronic pain in their life are often also emotionally depressed. That is not an unusual thing. And so if you've had a prolonged illness or a physical injury, that can lead to depression and anxiety. How about this one? Unfulfilled goals. You had some goals, you had some dreams, you really went after it. And then you're looking back over your life and 20, 30 years later, you still haven't seen those goals come to pass. That can lead to a sense of heaviness, a sense of depression. Failures, maybe you failed. Maybe you failed miserably at a marriage. Maybe you failed miserably at your job. Maybe you failed in relationships. Maybe you just made some really bad mistakes in your life and that led you to depression. You couldn't believe that you would find yourself in a situation like that. And so that can lead to depression. Here's a big one, rejection. If you have faced rejection over and over again in relationships and friendships, maybe in the marketplace and in your job, you have felt that sting of rejection, that can really lead to depression and even anxiety, fear of social interaction. Here's one, loss of friends. You ever had a loss of friendship? You ever been close to somebody and you grew apart or you felt that sting of rejection? That can lead to depression. Here's one, being alone. Maybe you thought by now you would be married. Maybe you thought by now you would have a family. Maybe you've gone through some things where you felt that real pain of loneliness. Here's another one, marital problems. You would never imagine that you would have the tension in a marriage, but then it's not working out, and that can lead to depression and even anxiety. What are you going to do if things don't work out? How about family responsibilities? You love your kids so much. You want to provide for your kids so much, but then things begin to happen and you just don't feel like. There's this gnawing inside. There's a sense of you're just not able to do what you want to do in your heart. That can often lead to depression and anxiety. How about this one? A troubled child. Maybe you've had a troubled child. They might have had a physical condition, an emotional condition. You've cried with them. You walked with them. Maybe they made some really bad choices in life, and you couldn't even imagine. You did your best to pray with them and to raise them according to God's word, but then as they got older, maybe they made some troubling decisions, and that has really weighed very, very heavily on your heart and mind. That can lead to depression. How about this? The heart-wrenching, heartbreaking aspect of a divorce. When people go through divorce, I haven't met anyone that really hasn't had a difficult time if they've gone through the heart-wrenching and heart-ripping emotions of a divorce. That can often lead to depression. Relocation. You might find this surprising, but you know, when you move to another place and you relocate, that's very, very emotional. They say that it can take you 3 to 5 years to really feel at home at a place. And so imagine if you relocate, especially if you've uprooted, moved your family to a new place, new job, new environment, you're missing support structure from where you were before, those kinds of things, a sense of heaviness can set in, a sense of depression. Here's one. How about growing old? How about growing old? This is actually really true, that you just can't do the things that you used to be able to do. You can't believe that your body is slowing down, breaking down just a little bit. Your kids are growing older. You're missing them. And on it goes, where you feel like you just aren't as productive, or maybe you just don't have as deep of a sense of purpose and meaning. And so we can all have all these different things. And you might be able to think of some more, but these are some things that can really lead to depression and anxiety. Well, you know, the Bible is full of people that went through these kinds of experiences. And probably if you read the book of Psalms, you'll see that it is full of David and others just pouring out their heart to the Lord. Listen to Psalm 85, verses 4 to 8. It says, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me." Does this sound like somebody who's struggling with depression and anxiety? "I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." I wonder if there's someone here where you've often thought, if I could just get out of this situation, if I could just run away, if I could just find rest somewhere, "I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm." And so this describes really the heart of somebody who's struggling with depression and anxiety. What I love about the Bible is it's very, very real. It tells about all the successes, but it also is very, very transparent. It tells us about all the failures and heartaches that people have experienced. Now, I've given you a visual throughout this series, and it's that of a train. Because when you're in the middle of your journey and you're on a train, if you could visualize this, that you're in the middle of a journey, you're on a train, you're on one of these cars, you can't see the end where you're going. And you can't even really see all the way back. You're right in the middle of this journey. But what I want you to visualize is that when God looks at your life, He sees it from an aerial view. So He sees the beginning and the end. That's why the Bible actually calls God the beginning and the end. In the Greek, it's the Alpha and the Omega. And so I want you to know today that God sees the beginning and the end of your life. And so you might be in the middle of a heavy time. You might be in the middle of a difficult situation. You might even feel like life is caving in, crushing in on you, or you know people like that. But God is looking at it from an aerial perspective, and you might even feel like you can't make it through, but God sees the beginning and the end. And I just want to say to you lovingly today, I want to say to you encouragingly today, that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. God's grace, God's power, God's healing, He is going to help you make it through to the end. And if you'll get this perspective, it's very, very empowering. It's very, very healing. And so have that in your heart and in your mind as we continue the message today. So I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about the heartache of depression, the intensity of anxiety, and how it takes us to a dark place. But then I'm going to talk to you about some steps toward victory, how we can have victory over these things in our lives. So let's talk about the heartache of depression. So depression, I'm just going to define this very, very simply, depression is an overwhelming and persistent sense of sadness. It's not just being sad for a moment, but it's this idea that it persists. And it's overwhelming. When somebody is struggling with depression, it's overwhelming and it's a persistent sense of sadness. Now think about this. If you were to lay your head on a pillow, if you put weight on a pillow, after you lift your head off of that pillow, it should regain its original shape. That's the idea of a pillow. Okay? But if you put a really heavy weight on that pillow and you don't pick it up, and that pillow stays depressed by the weight or by the heaviness. Now that really describes, if you can visualize that, it really describes our life. All of us are going to experience things that are sad. All of us are going to experience disappointments. We lay our head on the pillow. The idea is that you can bounce back. The idea is that when the weight lifts off of your heart, that pillow returns to its original shape. The tragedy is that if we're not learning how to receive God's healing, His power, we're not learning how to walk in victory, the weight stays on our heart and on our minds, and that's depression. So we can all be depressed in a moment, if you will, or experience a sadness of something, but God wants you to walk through it so that you regain who you are as an individual. You regain the joy. You regain the victory that God has for you. And so it can remain for a moment. The idea is, as we walk with the Lord, that we bounce back. God wants you to bounce back. He doesn't want that weight of heaviness to keep you depressed. Now, let me define this a little bit biblically. Let me give you some scriptures here. We talk about this at the first level. We can all experience sadness. Your heart is sad. You get some bad information. You have a disappointment. You lose a very close person in your life. You can feel sad. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2 says this: "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." Every one of us have experienced sadness of heart. And so we can experience something. But again, the idea is that God wants to touch you, heal you, give you hope, give you encouragement, and help you bounce back. But here's what can happen, is that sadness of heart can become an ache, where your heart aches. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 13. "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." I wonder if we have some people here that have gone through some seasons where you have felt like your heart just aches. Have you ever gone through a hard time where your heart literally aches? You can feel it, not just emotionally, but you can feel it physically. I've been through some things where I have felt it emotionally, but I literally felt pain in my heart. I felt it in my chest. This is what the Bible's talking about. Not just sadness, but where it becomes a hard ache. And then you can have anguish. Your heart can be in anguish. Listen to Psalm 38, and we'll read verses 8 to 17. "I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sign is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes." Have you ever been in a season where Not only were you sad and you felt the ache, but you were in anguish that you felt like there was no light in your eyes. And I want you to keep that in the backdrop of your thinking. We'll come back to this idea of light. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. I'm about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. Have you ever gone through such a hard time where, one, maybe you don't want to be around other people, but secondly, they don't even want to be around you? You just feel that heaviness. It's like you feel such a sadness. And it's this sense that your pain is ever with you. That's when you know that you're in a place that you really need to be touched and you need to be healed by the Lord. So when you say the sense of depression, that it's always there, it just doesn't seem to go away. Unfortunately, people can carry depression and anxiety for a very long time in their lives. So this is the heartache of depression. Now, I've included depression and anxiety together because they often are very closely related. So let me talk to you about the intensity of anxiety. Anxiety is an extreme uneasiness or distress over a threat or something unknown. So anxiety can come from a threat that is very visible, you know it, but it can also be an unknown threat. In other words, you feel like something bad might happen. That's what fear is. It might be danger that is very real that you can see, but it also might not be danger that you can see or feel. It's a perceived danger. It's a sense of, man, something bad might happen. I might lose it all. I invested before and I lost everything. I bought a house and I lost it, and I started a business, but it just didn't work out. So to try again, there's a sense of anxiety. Or maybe you did have a good relationship and you got married and you went through the heartbreak of divorce, or maybe there was emotional abuse or verbal abuse or even physical abuse, and you think to yourself, how in the world could I trust somebody again? And so there's anxiety for relationships. There's anxiety to really reach out to other people. And so it's very, very understandable. So anxiety is characterized by extreme worry or fear. I'm not talking about where you're nervous about something or afraid about something in the natural. It's characterized by this extreme worry that something bad is going to happen, something terrible is going to happen. Now, those of you that experience that, there can also be a lot of physical sensations. It's what many psychologists would describe as a panic attack. Some of you might have had a panic attack. Usually they're defined as these sudden, brief episodes of intense fear that come on you. And oftentimes they have like multiple physical symptoms. So people might say they hyperventilate. Other people say they sweat. Have you ever broken into a cold sweat about something? What about this? Just your heart starts beating fast. And some people have even described it as pain in their chest. Some have even described it as they feel like they're choking. They can't say what they want to say. Fear just grips them. Fear comes upon them. Some people have even described it as they feel nauseous. So afraid of being in a social setting, or so afraid that something bad is going to happen, that they even feel nauseous about that situation. And so these are very understandable, very real feelings, but that describes anxiety. Anxiety is very, very intense, and it can come crashing in on you. It can really cave in on you. So you may have physical symptoms. Let me give you some scriptures, because it's amazing how the Bible describes many of these things. But listen to Job 21 and verse 6. When I think about this, I'm terrified. Trembling seizes my body. Many people that have anxiety or fear, they can really be shook up. Trembling seizes their body. They're terrified, so there could be physical symptoms. You may fear social gatherings. Listen to Job 31 and verse 34. Because I so feared the crowd, I kept silent and would not go outside. There are some people that have experienced such social and emotional and relational trauma that they're afraid to be around other people. And so it's understandable that they would withdraw and not want to be around people. But let me say this. God has not designed you to be alone. He's designed you for relationship. One, relationship with Him, but also relationship with each other. We need each other. You need people in your life. And so it's understandable that you might be fearful of some things, but that's really not God's best for you. God loves you, wants to heal you, and bring you to such a place where you can have wholesome, integral, healthy relationships. That's His longing. That's His desire for you. And so you really got to know that in your heart, that you were designed for relationship, designed for people. And then thirdly here, you may have had this for a very long time. If somebody's struggling with depression and anxiety, oftentimes it's been for a long time. Listen to Psalm 88, verse 15. From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered terrors and am in despair. Here the psalmist says that he struggled with this his whole life. There might be some people here that you've struggled with fear and anxiety and depression your whole life. And maybe you've learned to put on a brave face. Maybe you've learned to try to smile and to work through things. It's not that you're not functional. It's not that you can't accomplish great things. But deep down, there might be this sense of depression or the sense of anxiety. And I just have good news for you today that God wants to heal you. God wants to give you such peace. God wants to give you such freedom that you don't have to walk around with that heaviness, and you certainly don't have to put a mask on. You can be real, but live in the genuine joy that God has promised for you. Say amen to that. And so the Bible describes depression and anxiety. Now, let me say this before I give you some steps toward victory, because God wants us to learn how to live in victory. Say amen. Say amen. Depression and anxiety can take you to a dark place. And I want you to really think about this, because those of you that have struggled with depression or sadness, you know what that's like, where something begins to happen, but you know it can take you to a really, really dark place. Now, and I want to say this, when it comes to depression, sometimes depression, I think this is well noted here, sometimes depression can be a result of anger or hurt or frustration, and you turn it inward. How does that work? Well, you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you've seen some promises, and you know that God's best is for you to experience the joy. And so it's even hard to even talk about, because you're like, well, wait a minute, I want to be a good Christian. And so what do? You bury it. You smother it. You don't really talk about it. You don't really bring it to the Lord. And so what happens is there's anger, there's hurt, and there's frustration. Oftentimes, depression is a result of that, where you turn it inward. Or said another way, maybe I'll describe it this way. Even in your own life, you're disappointed with yourself. You're disappointed with the way life has gone, that it really hasn't quite worked out the way you wanted to do, way you thought it might work out. And so you're angry about that, frustrated at God, at your upbringing, at the people around you, at yourself. And so you're angry, and you turn it inward, and then it sets into depression. And so I just want to share that with you, because as you go to prayer, as you think about how those things can happen. You might really be hurt over something, but God heals. You might really be angry about something, but God heals. You might really be frustrated, but God heals. And as you begin to recognize those things, it's very, very, very helpful in the process. Now, remember I asked you to just kind of keep in the backdrop of your thinking lights, lights, lights. Somebody that's depressed, it's like there's no light in their eyes. We read, the psalmist said that. Now, listen to this. You've got to turn the lights on. If you want victory, if you want to get victory over depression and anxiety, you got to turn the lights on. Okay, so think about this. If you're in a dark place, and I don't mean to oversimplify this, but I think it's a really good illustration for us to think about. If this is a dark place, you turn the lights on. You turn the lights on so you won't stumble, so you won't fall, so you can enjoy life. So you turn the lights on. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And so you turn the light on. How do you do that? You ask the Lord to come into your heart. You ask the Lord to come in and help you to get victory over this. You bring it to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm in a dark place, but I know this isn't your best for me. Help me to turn the lights on. And then you realize this, that when He turns the light on, you are going to make it through the shadows. Okay, now I'm going to read this to you, one of the most well-known scriptures in the text, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay? Now notice this. He says, even though I walk through. Would you please say the word through? Yeah. So I'm here to prophesy to you today. I'm here to declare to you. I'm here to announce very, very confidently to you today that if you are in a valley, you will make it through that valley. God is going to make it through. And it's a shadow of death. It's not death. Someone say, I'm alive. Say, I'm alive. You're alive today. It's understandable that you might feel these things, but it's a shadow of death. You're not dead yet. Say amen to that. And just look to your neighbor and say, I think you're still alive. I think you're still alive. Now, when you go to a dark place, let's talk about this for a moment. When somebody starts struggling with depression, you might have even had thoughts of suicide. There might be somebody here today where you have been contemplating taking your life. Now, I would say that any of us, what I've discovered in the ministry, in ministering to people, is that this actually isn't unusual, where somebody starts going through a hard time and they start having these thoughts and feelings. What in the world am I doing here? Am I even making a difference? I'm struggling with meaning and purpose. And so you have this kind of fleeting thought go through your mind. Is it even worth it? What am I doing here? Now, that is a normal thought. The problem is if that goes further and you start really getting into depression and you stay in that dark place and you start contemplating suicide. It might even start simply like this. Well, I got a pretty good life insurance policy. That'll take care of my family. But if you continue to dwell on that, it'll get worse and worse. That thought may be understandable, but you got to bounce back. What you have to learn to do is say, that thought is not from God. That thought is from the enemy. That thought is not from God. And so just like a pillow that's depressed, now you're going to bounce back up. You have that thought, but you're not going to stay there. You're not going to dwell in that thought. So we might have a fleeting thought of suicide. The challenge is if that continues on and you stay in that place. Now, I want you to be thinking about that because we're going to come back to this when we talk about steps toward victory. So it's understandable, but God wants you to bounce back. In other words, He doesn't want you to stay there. This is this idea of we all have bad things that happen. We all have bad thoughts at different times. We all experience different things. But God wants us healed, and He wants it quick. That's a good word for somebody. He wants it quick. Doesn't have to necessarily be a long, drawn-out process. Now, other side of that coin is don't think that it's always quick. Sometimes it does take time, and you got to realize that. But He does want you to learn to bounce back. And so just keep this in your thought process here that depression is a dark place. Anxiety is a dark place, but we're going to turn the lights on. Jesus is the light. He wants to come right into that place and begin to heal your heart and mind. Now, let me give you some steps toward victory. If you're dealing with depression or you know somebody that is, you're dealing with anxiety, let me give you some steps toward victory. Now, let me read this to you first. Deuteronomy 20, verses 3 to 4. Today you're going into battle against your enemies. So I want you to think about this. Depression is an enemy. Anxiety is an enemy. Today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. So it's understandable that you feel afraid to even deal with the situation, but you're going to battle today. It takes courage. Courage is this sense of you look danger in the eye, but you're not going to run away. You're going to face the danger. So you're going to battle. In other words, don't give way to panic. Don't give way to panic. You're going to win. You're going to win this battle because Jesus has won the war. I'm going to repeat that because it was very important. I don't have a lot of time to explain it theologically, but you're going to win this battle because Jesus won the war. I'll say it one more time, and you can think about it. You're going to win this battle because Jesus already won the war. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. So I'm going to invite you to say this out loud. Say, I'm going to get the victory. I will win this battle. Okay, so God wants to give us some steps toward victory on how we can overcome depression and anxiety. So the first thing you got to realize, if you're going to get victory, is that you need help. Say this lovingly, you need help. Do you know there's some people who will never admit that they need help? Now, sometimes that's understandable because they had to do it all their whole life. They were survivors. No one was ever there for them. Maybe their parents were. Maybe they had an absentee father. But no one ever helped them, so they had to help themselves. And so some of that's understandable, but some people, and sometimes it's pride. Think, well, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. Listen, my brother and sister, you need help. You cannot do everything all by yourself all of the time. You need some help. Now, the scripture is this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. So God wants to bring some people around you that will help you carry your burdens. Okay? Now, this right here in the Greek is the picture of somebody carrying an enormous boulder. In other words, they have this huge weight that they're trying to carry, and they can't do it themselves. And so God says, you know what? Carry each other's burden. In other words, help each other carry those heavy loads. Do you know there's some people that you can see a weight on them and you're like, hey, let me help you. No, I got this. They're weighed down. They can hardly walk. They're stumbling. Let me help you. Can I help you with something? No, I got this. They won't let anyone help. The Bible says carry each other's burdens. Now, it's also important that you carry your own burden. Listen to Galatians 6, verse 5. Each one should carry his own load. So we're told to carry each other's burdens, but we're also told to carry our own load. This picture in the Greek is like a backpack. You can carry your own backpack. In fact, you need to carry your own backpack. Now, let me say this. Have you ever met somebody who won't carry their backpack? They keep telling you to carry it. Here, carry this. Somebody just said to themselves, I'm married to that person. They won't ever help, right? Well, you need to take care of yourself. You need to carry your own load. If you've got a backpack, you carry your own backpack. People do this all the time. They do it emotionally. They want somebody else to carry their backpack. They do it financially. They want everybody else to provide for them. God wants you to get a job and to work hard. So you carry your own backpack. But when you have a heavy load, you do need some help. And so there's a balance here. So you need help. Say this out loud. I need help. There are going to be some times in your life that you have a heavy load and you need some help. The second thing, if you're going to get victory, is you need truth. You need truth in your life. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what's the truth? The truth is God has an amazing plan for your life. The truth is, he does want you to experience joy. The truth is, he does want you to have great relationships. The truth is, he does want to provide for you financially. That is the truth. I can prove it to you over and over and over through God's word. Those are true statements. That's the truth. And so God wants you to know truth because truth will set you free. And he'll keep you from going into that dark place. I heard a story about a farmer who had a goat, and he wanted to transfer this goat from one farm to another farm. And so he tied the goat up, the front hooves and the back hooves, and threw it in the back of a truck and drove it to the other farm. And he unloaded the goat and put it down and cut the cords, and he noticed the goat was still laying down like this. And he thought, well, that's funny. So he kind of kicked the goat, and the goat got up a little bit, but the goat wouldn't walk. It had its hooves together, and it fell over. Now, that's unusual. So he picked the goat up again and tried to help it along. And the goat just kept its hooves together and kept falling over. The reason why the goat did that is it had been tied so tightly that even when the cords were broken, it had the sensation of still being bound up. That is a perfect illustration for us as human beings. Because Jesus says that you are free, but you may have the sensation of being bound up because of all the stuff that is happening in your life. So you have to have the truth revealed to you that you are free and you can really walk. Some of you have been maybe fighting with depression so long that you don't realize that you can walk. And not only can you walk, you can run. And not only can you run, you can fly. God has an amazing plan for your life, but you might still have this sensation of being bound up. You're still acting like you're bound up. You need to know what truth is. You need to know that God has an amazing plan. You need to know that He loves you. As a child, you need to know that He'll never leave you or forsake you. You need to know that He wants you to have good relationships in your life. You need to know that He wants to provide for you. These are the truths that will set you free, but you got to cut the cord and you have to start walking toward your freedom. So you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you don't have all the answers all at once, but you walk. You take one step at a time, knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel. That is the truth. So you don't give up. You keep going. If I could say anything to you today as a brother in the Lord, please don't give up. You're still alive. God still has a plan. You're going to make it through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death. It's a shadow. It might feel like death. It might look like death. You might feel like there's no hope, but it's just a shadow. The truth is, Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly. That's the truth. So you keep walking. Yeah, go ahead and give the Lord a praise. That is the truth. So you need help, but you need truth. Say amen to that. The third thing is this. If you're going to get victory over this stuff, is you need perspective. You need perspective in your life. Listen to Paul. And you may not realize this. Paul, I think, was one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. Amazing. But Paul struggled with depression. Paul struggled with some things, and yet he wrote some amazing passages in the Bible. I'll prove it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. This word in the Greek describes such a heaviness that they could barely make it. Far beyond our ability to endure. He thought they weren't going to make it. So that we despaired even of life. I wonder if there's someone here that you've even despaired of life. Paul felt that heaviness, that depression. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So he felt this heaviness, felt like he even despaired of life. But notice this. He says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And so sometimes you go through things and it is about you and God. You got to rely on God. You can't figure everything out, but you got to rely on God. And then you have to ask yourself some very courageous questions. For example, is it possible that what you're going through could be a blessing in disguise? Could it be that? We could never imagine that we didn't get that job, that would be a blessing, but maybe God was protecting you from something. Couldn't imagine that. Why would you be rejected and not be able to go to that university? Well, maybe God was protecting you from something. Sometimes some things are a blessing in disguise. In other words, God is protecting you from something. Now, let me be very, very clear. This is important theologically. It's not that these things that are painful are from God, but rather they drive you to God. That's really important theologically and doctrinally. If you're going through a difficult time and suffering and depression, it's not that God has put those things in your life. They're not from God, but it drives you to God. We just live in a messed up world. And so you have a choice. Is it going to drive you from God or to God? It should drive you to God. And so sometimes things happen in our lives, but we realize, you know what? This got me to the Lord. I mean, there's some testimonies sitting right here in this building that you messed up. You were far away from the Lord, but you hit rock bottom, and that's what caused you to look up. And it's not that we want you to hit rock bottom again. But you would say, out of grace and mercy, it somehow opened your eyes and you looked up. That would be an example of where it is kind of a blessing in disguise. It's not that you should have done those things, but it caused you to look up. And then perspective. In other words, when Paul says here, he delivered us before and he's going to deliver us again. In other words, God did it before and he's going to do it again. That when you start getting victory over these things, you feel depressed for a moment, but you realize, you know what? Before I got victory, I'm going to get victory again. God's going to heal my heart. He's going to touch me. He's going to give me hope. I got victory before. I'm going to get victory again. You start remembering what God did in your life. The last time you thought you would never make it, but you're still alive. Last time you thought you'd never make it financially, but here you are. And then you start remembering the miracles that God did in your life. And if he did it before, he'll do it again. Say amen to that. The fourth thing is this. If you want to get victory, you need to hold on to the good. This is really important. Because you might be here today and somebody's struggling with depression and you feel like, man, there is no hope. There's no good. Well, I'm here to speak. And I'm going to say this very confidently. There is something good in your life. Well, you don't know how bad it is. You're right. I may not know how bad it is, but I do know I can confidently say that there's at least something good in your life. There is. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 23. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Now, you see, how can you be joyful? Well, watch. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, let me stop right there because a lot of people misread this verse. They say when they read this, that we should give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Thinking that all bad circumstances are God's will. That's not what it says. What's God's will is for you to give thanks in all circumstances. That's really important. Don't misread the verse. So it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus to give thanks. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. So when you start going through a hard time, you start thinking, man, it's hard for me to be hopeful about any prophecy, any good news that would come forth. But he says, man, don't hold on. Now, he does say, test it, be sure. Quick example, you went through some painful relationships in your life, and I'm here to prophesy to you, hey, God's going to give you good relationships. Hard for me to believe because I've been hurt my whole life. No, God's going to give you good relationships. Hard for me to believe. Well, go ahead and test it. Be cautious, test it, walk it out slowly. But the truth is, he's going to give you some good relationships. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Let's say that out loud. Say, hold on to the good. Come on, make it a prayer. Say, Lord, help me hold on. Say, make it a prayer. Help me hold on to the good. Help me hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. This is important because when you're going through a hard time, it might be tempting to go to something that will help medicate the pain. A lot of times when people struggle with depression, they might struggle with substance abuse, trying to medicate the pain. It's understandable, the hurt and the agony, but God wants you to avoid every kind of evil, that you would learn to go to him and not to other things, that you would go to him for life. You would not go to dead places for life, but go to Jesus for life. And so avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I say that over you today. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. I speak that into your heart today. The Lord is faithful, and he will do it. And the last thing is this. You need an encounter. You need an encounter with the Lord. Listen to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. It says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now let me stop right there. Because sometimes we think that anxiety is just all of our emotions. The Bible is clear here that fear is a spirit. And I don't have time to really develop this, but fear is really a demonic spirit. When you're being attacked by fear and anxiety, There might be a lot of your emotions involved. I understand that. But I guarantee you biblically and theologically that Satan and demonic forces are attacking you with fear. That is not normal for you to fear some of the things that you have experienced in your life. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, these three things are really important. If we're going to get victory over depression and anxiety, you need an infusion of power. Say power. Power. Okay? Because if this is a spiritual battle and the enemy is attacking you with depression and anxiety, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to drive back demonic forces. And then you need a revelation of love. So you need an infusion of supernatural power, but you need a revelation of love. He says God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love. So you need an infusion of power, but you need a revelation of God's love. This needs to be your prayer. Lord, reveal to me how much you love me. And not just that you died on the cross for me, but Lord, that you love me so desperately, that you would come after me. Give me a revelation of your love for me. So you need an infusion of power, but you need a revelation of love. And the third thing is this: you need a sound mind. In other words, much of this happens right here in the battle of the mind. And so you need an infusion of power, revelation of love, but you have got to learn to take captive every negative thought and say, I'm not going to the dark place. I'm turning the light on, and I'm going to walk through this valley, this shadow of death. Say amen. Say amen to that. So let me illustrate this. I'm going to wrap this up with a few different passages here. And as I read these, I want you to think about depression and anxiety. And I'll make it applicable. So let's start with Luke chapter 13. We'll read verses 10 to 13. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Okay? Now notice a couple things. 18 years. Sometimes people have anxiety or depression or issues for a long time. 18 years. But notice this. It was a spirit. Notice this, that she was crippled. Oftentimes, there are physical things that are a result of a spiritual problem. And so sometimes we think that an infirmity, an illness, a sickness is only physical, or it's only genetic, or it's hereditary. My brother and sister, it could very well be a spiritual attack. And so the Bible is really clear. I don't have time to develop that, but it's very clear that it could be a spiritual battle in your life. And so it says here, she'd been there, crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now think about it. If you've struggled with something for a long time, a physical illness could be depression, an anxiety that sets in. She was bent over and could not straighten up. This to me describes depression and anxiety. Somebody who's bent over, they can't straighten up. They don't have the confidence. They don't have the joy. They don't have the power to be everything that God has called them to be because they're bent over. It's this crippling effect. If you've struggled with depression and anxiety, you know what it's like. It's paralyzing. Cripples you. And so here was this woman. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. Hear the word of the Lord today. Jesus is calling you forward to him. He calls you. He calls you. He calls her forward. And he says to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he put his hands on her. And immediately she straightened up and praised God. So I'm here to announce to you today, Jesus is calling you. Calling you and saying, you know what, I want to set you free from depression. I want to set you free from anxiety. But my brother and sister, you do have to come to him. It's tempting to isolate yourself. It's tempting to push people away. It's tempting to say, I don't need any help. But you do. So come to Jesus and let him touch you. That's the first. That's the first scripture that I want to show you. The second one is in Luke 14. Here's another one, Luke 14, verses 1 to 4. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Now, let me tell you what dropsy is. Dropsy is an abnormal swelling of the body, and listen very carefully, it's associated with a heart condition. So this man had a heart condition. I want you to know that if you're struggling with a heart condition, you're struggling with depression, it's a heart condition. Anxiety, it's a heart condition. Manifests itself in physical illness. But it says here, he suffered from dropsy. Now watch this. Then Jesus and the Pharisees and experts of the law, he says to them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But when they remained silent, so taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Don't miss that. Taking hold of the man. In other words, Jesus grabs him, hugs him, holds on to him, and doesn't let him go. He takes a hold of him. That's what this word means. In fact, there's so much force to this word. This Greek word is epilambano. Lambano means to take hold of something. Epi means this forcefulness. If we had time, we would do a word study, but I'll show you one example. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 30, it's translated as seized. And it says that they seized Paul and they drug him away. It's the same idea where he seized him. Another passage would be 1 Timothy 6:12, where it says, take hold of the eternal life. What this word describes, and we miss it in the English, but what this word describes is, here was this guy with a condition of heart. He's swelling up. Jesus, with incredible love and compassion, grabs a hold of this guy and hugs him and won't let him go. He seizes him. He loves him. He holds on to him. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants to take a hold of you, grab a hold of you, hug you, and not let go of you. If you'll come to him, he's going to hold on to you. Jesus, with all of his love and compassion and mercy, wants to hold on and hug you today. Let me give you one more. Luke 15, and I'll close. Luke 15 and verses 1 to 7. Now, the tax collectors and sinners gathered around him to hear him. But when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. Hear the word of the Lord today. Jesus will leave the 99 for you. The problem with depression and anxiety is we feel so isolated and alone, and we feel like Jesus doesn't care. Listen to truth today. Jesus will set you free by his power. Say amen. Jesus will overwhelm you with his love and hug you. Say amen. But if you're lonely and lost, he comes after you. If you have felt overlooked, if you have felt like you're just a number, if you have felt like Jesus doesn't care, hear the word of the Lord today. He comes running after you. He comes and gets you. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now let me review. The woman in Luke 13 was set free by power. The man in Luke 14 was healed by love. The lost sheep were told right here in the scripture that there's this idea of repentance. In the Greek, it's metanoia, where we get our word metamorphosis. It's a sense of changing and renewing your mind. That's why Paul said to Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You have to renew your mind to the fact that you're valuable. You have to renew your mind to the fact that Jesus would have died just for you. Not the whole world, but just for you. You have to renew your mind. Metanoia in the Greek. You have to change your thinking and realize that Jesus is not overlooking you. He's coming after you. Say amen to that. But you got to renew your mind to that truth, to that fact. Can you say amen? Hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You're not a number today. Person, and he loves you very, very, very much. Gave his life for you, and he's still doing what he did 2,000 years ago to set people free from heaviness, depression, and anxiety. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.